Acts chapter 9. We are here going through the book of Acts, and Acts 9, and it brings us to Saul. God had a great plan to use Saul, to use him in the spread of the gospel. And we come to chapter 9, and we see that the first thing God needed to do to use Saul in his plan was save him. Saul was not saved until chapter 9. Saul was a persecutor of Christians until Acts chapter 9. And last time we looked at the book of Acts, we saw how God made a missionary. He saved him. He confronted Saul on the road to Damascus. He converted Saul there on that road, I believe. And then he comforted Saul. We saw how that God sent a messenger of comfort, Ananias, there in Damascus to come and to encourage Saul, to teach him some things. And now we come to the next part of the story of Saul here. And God is maturing Saul. We see that Saul had some growth to bring into his life. God needed to mature him before he could use him. And so we're going to look at that aspect in Saul's life here. And we'll do that by beginning to read in Acts chapter 9 and verses 20 to 30 here. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying in wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. So we see Saul needing some maturity here, needing some growth. God is planning to use Saul as a missionary to send him unto the Gentiles. Saul even knew that. Ananias conveyed that information to Saul. But we see that Saul was not ready for that yet at this point. And in these verses, we see three different phases of Saul coming to maturity in his life. And in these verses, we find Saul in three different places. Saul is, first of all, in Damascus. And then we see him, secondly, in Jerusalem. And then, thirdly, we see him back up in Tarsus. But notice Saul in Damascus here. He is maturing by training. And we see him training by participation. Verse 20, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Saul, there in Damascus, he'd been saved. He's there a certain amount of days there, and he goes ahead and he begins to minister. he's going into these synagogues. He's now telling people that Jesus is the Son of God. And the reaction to that, verse 21, all that heard him were amazed. You know, they're thinking, wait a minute, Saul, This is the guy that came here to persecute the Christians. And now he's in the synagogues. He's preaching Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They can hardly believe that. So Paul is beginning to participate in the ministry, in preaching, in teaching. Now, did Saul, was Saul just a natural? Did Saul automatically come into this wow, people are just amazed at his preaching ability? Well, I'm sure God used him there. But you notice what it says here in verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength. You know, that means that Saul was growing. Saul was developing in the ways that God had for him to be used to serve the Lord. And he grew by participating in ministry. He went ahead and he's serving the Lord there in Damascus. We're told here that he confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ, verse 22. That word prove refers to putting things together. And, you know, you can imagine Saul having been trained as a Pharisee, trained, you know, in the Old Testament, basically. Now, as a Christian, he's taking that same Old Testament and he's putting it together and showing Christ in these synagogues, showing how that Jesus Christ is the promised one. And here's how it all makes sense. Look at these prophecies. Look how they've been fulfilled in Christ. And that's what Saul is doing now. He's participating in that ministry. But then there's another way that Saul is going through training here. And notice what it says in verse 23. And after that, many days were fulfilled. Now, in that little phrase, after that many days were fulfilled, there is another phase of training that took place in the life of Saul. I want to ask you to put your finger here and turn over to Galatians chapter 1. Because Saul fills in the details of what happened in after that many days were fulfilled. There's another place that Saul went. And Paul tells us that in Galatians 1 and verses 15 through 24. There's another event that Luke just summarizes there in verse 23, after that many days were fulfilled, but it must have taken place during this time while Saul was in Damascus and before he went to Jerusalem. And Galatians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 15, Paul gives kind of a testimony here. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. But here Paul tells us about another phase. He's there in Damascus, and then in Galatians 1:17 it says that he went into Arabia. What's in Arabia? Not much. Not very much at all. He's out there, and he gives a time frame of 3 years before he goes to Jerusalem, which is the next place in Acts. But Saul is ministering there in Damascus. Then, for whatever reason, God takes him out into the desert, into Arabia. And what's he doing there? Well, it seems that God is teaching him there. God is training him there. We had this period of, it seems anyway, a period of isolation, of Saul being pulled apart, meeting with the Lord there in the desert, removed from distractions. And Paul makes the point in Galatians, his apostleship does not rest on the other 12 apostles. This was before he even met the 12 apostles. His apostleship rests on the fact that the Lord made him an apostle. The Lord's training him. Very different type of training there, I think. But, you know, God may have a period like that in our lives. There may be a period of time when God says, okay, you're going to do this and just be over here for a while and not, be in isolation, so to speak. I don't know what that looks like for us today, but, a period of time where God just deals with us very carefully and teaches us things we need to know. And that's what happened in Saul's life. He isolated him and taught him during that time. So then, back to Acts chapter 9, verse 23, we see Paul in Damascus again. It seems he goes away into Arabia. He comes back to Damascus. Then we have some trials here, verse 23. After that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, led him down by the wall in a basket. Paul went through some trials. God evidently allowed these trials into Saul's life. Right? This is at the beginning of his ministry. And right at the very beginning, there's people trying to kill him. He's there in Damascus. He's trying to show people that this is Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ the Messiah. There's a plan to kill him. Evidently, they know Saul's in Damascus. They put a watch on the city gates. If you see Paul come out, grab him. And so they find out about this plan, the Christians there, and Paul actually refers to this incident again in 2 Corinthians 11. And he says, verse 32, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with the garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It may have been that there was somebody, perhaps a Christian in Damascus, that had a house, an apartment there on the city wall. That apartment had a window coming out. And so they make plans to go out that window, let Saul down in a basket, and have him escape out of the city that way. But it was, I'm certain, a trying time. Paul had to be trained through trials. He had to learn that serving God isn't easy. God was going to use him as a missionary. That didn't mean, he was going to be sailing along on a bed of roses all throughout his ministry. That's not how God's plan often works out. There are trials that we face, and Paul was introduced to that right away. It takes fortitude, it takes patience, a lot of dependence upon God. And here's this missionary, here's this servant, he's going to be sent out all over the known world at that time, and God is teaching him at this time how to go through a trial. And that won't be the first time. That's only one of the first ones that Paul has. But right there in Damascus, God is teaching him in that way. So he's there in Damascus, and then we find him in the second phase in Jerusalem. Verse 26, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. So there is Saul, he's coming to Jerusalem. Surely he knows that Jerusalem is is where it's at. Jerusalem is the birthplace of the church. They have the apostles as the pastors, here he is, and he wants to join with the believers there in Jerusalem. All right, was that good or bad? That was good. All right, that desire that Saul had to join, to join himself, to try to join himself to the disciples there, that was good. There's a lesson in that. The importance of being a part of the body of believers, the church. Paul could have set up things in Jerusalem on his own. He was an apostle there. He'd been in Arabia, God dealing with him directly, and he could have gone in there, tried to do things on his own, but he wanted to join with the disciples there. That's important. But there's a problem. What is it? The people in Jerusalem were scared of him. This wasn't the first time that Saul had been in Jerusalem. When Saul was in Jerusalem the last time, what was he doing? He was trying to kill those Christians. And now here Saul is coming in. Hey, could I come to church with you guys? Would that be all right if I joined with you? Yeah, right. All right, really? Really? Is that really what you want to do? I mean, come on. No, I'm serious. I want to go to your church. No, I think you better just hold back. Just maybe talk with one of the apostles here first and see if you can get past them. Wasn't easy for him. Saul had heard and mistreated these people. There was suspicion. But we learn about a man here who was a bridge to the fellowship in Jerusalem. Barnabas, verse 27. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Barnabas. Here's Barnabas again. Barnabas took Saul. He said, "You come with me. We're going to go talk to some of the apostles here." Probably it was only Peter and James, because in Galatians 1, those are the only two that Paul says he talked to face to face. But Barnabas says, "Come on, we're going to go talk to Peter and James." And Barnabas is a respected man in the church. And he makes the effort to go and take Paul and go to the church and say, "Hey, we need to get together and you need to come together. And this man is for real. This man is genuine. He's saved." Barnabas was a great man. He was a great man. And we need more people like Barnabas in our church. I'm certain we have people like him. People like Barnabas are people that, you see somebody and they need some encouragement. And it may not be something that the pastor can go and do. If the pastor goes and does it to that person over there, that doesn't always work well. All right, they might say, I don't know what they say, I disagree with you. You're the pastor. And whatever you say, it can't be right. But if you do it, all right, if you go and talk to that person, you say, "Hey, you need to come to church. You need to be here." All right. You might be able to be a bridge to somebody that I can't. And you might be able to be a bridge to somebody that person can't be. That's what Barnabas was doing. He saw that there was a need there in Saul's life. Saul needed to be a part of that church in Jerusalem. There was a problem there, and so he was the guy who tried to make it happen. And he brought Saul into that church. Now, Saul wasn't there that long. But Barnabas was the guy who was the encouragement for that fellowship. There may be somebody that nobody really has reached out to. Can you be a person like Barnabas? Can you have a Barnabas ministry? You don't have to have an official title of a Barnabas representative in the church, all right? But you can be a person like Barnabas and reach out to somebody that you may have contact with that no one else could. And encourage them to bring them in, to make them a part of the fellowship. And then we see Saul joining in the ministry of this church, verse 28. He was with them coming in and going out. He spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, disputed against the Grecians. But then there's a problem again, just like in Damascus. He's there talking to the Grecians, and the Grecians are the Grecian Jews. We saw these people back in Acts chapter 6. There were Grecian widows. These were Jews that were from other areas of the known world with the Greek culture and influence. And there were Christians like that, and there were Jews like that that were there in Jerusalem. And Paul, perhaps because of his background, he thinks he can have a ministry to those people. And so he's trying that. But the same problems come up that came up with Stephen, who also ministered to those people, and Philip. And they were trying to kill him. And so that leads to a decision of the church here in Jerusalem, verse 30, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. You know, the brothers there in Jerusalem, they see what's going on here, and they come to a decision. You know what? Saul has got to leave. Saul's got to leave. I wonder if that would have been hard for Saul to take. You know, here he is. He's in Jerusalem. He's trying to minister in this great city. Really could have an impact there. And now the people of the church in Jerusalem are saying, Saul, we think it'd be best if you go somewhere else. You know, Saul could have been, you know, mad about that. What? I just got here. Why do I need to go somewhere else? But evidently, he accepts that decision. You could have been offended by it. We know from Acts 22 that God confirmed it in a dream that he was to leave the city. And he left it for another place. But what do we see in Jerusalem here? We see Paul joining. He's trying to join in the fellowship of that church. And that's one way that God works in our lives. God is doing something in Saul's life to prepare him for a life of ministry, of missionary service. And he's doing that through his fellowship with this church. You know, we tend to be kind of independently minded, even as Christians. We don't see the need that we have to join in a fellowship. So many people don't see that. The need to be a part of an assembly of believers. And that's so important. We see Paul recognizing the importance of that. He's trying to join with that assembly, trying to minister with them. And there were some obstacles to that. You have Barnabas coming in, helping out, but he's trying to join. He's trying to have a part in that fellowship. And we see him accepting the decision that that church made, even about his own ministry. And then the third phase here that we see is Saul leaving to go to another area, verse 30 again, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. So here is Saul. God has called him as a missionary, and now he's headed to Tarsus. Now, what's Tarsus? What's significant about Tarsus? What's significant about Tarsus? What do you know about Tarsus? It's where he's from. Yeah. That's where he was born and raised, in Tarsus, in Asia. And so here he is. He's wanting to go and serve the Lord. And now the church is saying, Saul, you know what? You need to go home. You need to go home to Tarsus. What? God, I thought I'm supposed to be a missionary. I thought I'm supposed to go somewhere, and you have a plan for me. Now you're telling me I got to go home? That's not what I was thinking, God. That's what God had for him here. God had another phase of his preparation. Saul, you need to go to Tarsus. You need to go home. We look at the timeline of Saul's history, which we can figure out. You can look at a commentary and figure out different place, how long Saul was in these various places. And we see that Saul was in Tarsus several years, perhaps even 7 or 8 years in this phase. And, you know, I wonder if Saul wondered why. We know Tarsus was a place of education. There was a university in Tarsus. Maybe it would have been easier for him to talk about these ideas, about Christianity, about Christ in an area like that without having to worry about being killed all the time. like he had to in Damascus and Jerusalem. The next phase of his life, we know, comes in Acts chapter 11. And there's Barnabas again. And Barnabas comes and he contacts Saul again. And he says to Saul, "Saul, we need you in Antioch. Would you come to Antioch? God's doing something in Antioch." And so he comes and he takes Saul to Antioch, and Saul is there at Antioch for a year. And God is about ready to use him to be sent out from Antioch. But until that time, he's there in Tarsus. And he has more to teach Saul there in Tarsus, perhaps patience. Perhaps he needed to learn to trade. At some point, Saul became a tent maker. He had to learn that trade at some point in his life. We don't know exactly when he learned it, but he did have a trade. He had already prepared a fair amount before his salvation under Gamaliel as a Pharisee. Then there was the 3 years in the desert with God, and then there were these other 7 or 8 years there. What was Saul doing in Tarsus? We don't know exactly. He probably was not just doing nothing. We know that later on his missionary journeys, he visits that same area, we're told, the province where Tarsus is, and he's coming back to visit Christians there. And the implication is that Saul is doing something there and helping people to come to know the Lord there in Tarsus. But God had that time for him there as well, to prepare him, to mature him. You know, waiting is often not our idea. When we have to wait, we think, "God, what are you doing? Why? What do I do next? God, I just don't understand it. I need to be doing something." God may say, "You know what? Just wait. You need to wait." Circumstances may come into our lives, and we have to wait. We don't like that, but we see that God had a lot of waiting for Saul in his life before he could venture out onto these missionary journeys. There was preparation. There was waiting. Let's not think that we're wasting time if God forces us to wait. Let's see what God wants us to do while we wait. Where can God use us in the place where he has placed us now? That's what Saul had to ask himself. He's there in Tarsus, his hometown. How can God use me here? This is where you put me, God. How can God use me here? We see here God often has some work to do on us and in us before he can use us. We are not saved into a state of perfection, as we well know. God often has phases he puts us into to teach us and to develop us, and we need to be willing to see what those lessons are, just like Saul had as he was in these three different cities of training, in Damascus, and then Arabia, Jerusalem, and then back home in Tarsus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the work that you do in our lives, and we pray that we would have the patience that you want us to have. We recognize that we are prone to want to be doing our own will, but we pray that we would sense what it is you would have for us, what lessons you would want to teach us to prepare us for the ministries that you would want us to do in the future. We thank you for the work that you did in Saul's life to prepare him. We thank you for what you do in ours as well. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.